this week on the eBay for Business podcast.
And then overall, we've seen a significant increase in e-commerce penetration. I think what our stats say that about 70% of people that we surveyed are anticipating that they're going to spend more on e-commerce this year. A greater share of their holiday purchases will happen online this year than in prior years, which obviously makes sense given what we're seeing. A lot of shifting dynamics going into holiday 2020.
It's a careful balance. Obviously, work is first and foremost, since that is my main income. Typically, when I go on an extensive business trip, I'll put my store on hold. And so if someone's to go visit it today, they're going to find it's incredibly empty. And they'll say, gee, that wasn't much of a store. However, when I make my triumphant return, they will say, wow, that guy's got a lot of stuff listed. So that's kind of how I balance it.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 112. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Griff. How's the week been?
Oh, it's been pretty good. The weather's nice. Lots of podcast work to do. How about you?
It's been a busy week. This fall's been very, very busy so far.
With eBay stuff, I suppose.
Definitely with eBay stuff. Lots of exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, that's just in community.
Exactly.
So imagine what the rest of the site's like. I can only imagine because I spend my head down in podcast all week.
Well, you and me both. Well, I'm not in podcast land, but...
Well, for a couple hours a week, you are.
Yes.
I should hope so.
And it's fun.
It is fun.
And watching the growth of the podcast has been really fun to watch this year.
Is it still growing? I haven't been watching.
It's still growing.
Oh,
so
good.
Thanks to all of our listeners out there for downloading and listening every week.
Yeah. And you know what I'm going to put in the links? Thanks for reminding me. A link to our survey.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So in the transcript link, we'll put a link to our survey so you can tell us what you think of the podcast and what you would suggest to make it better.
And I think I may have added it to the ongoing links, but you know what? It might be good to have it as a fresh link.
Yeah, we'll feature it. We'll put a featured link. How's that?
A featured link.
Yeah, I like it.
So, Griff.
Yeah.
Who's on deck this week for this episode?
Well, first up, we have eBay CMO of North America, Andrea Stairs. Now, Andrea will share what eBay is doing in the way of advertising to buyers this holiday season. That's something that every seller wants to know.
And you'll be speaking with eBay seller Chris Marshall of O2BeFunny about his eBay story and seller history.
Yes, Chris was one of the sellers whose story was selected for the 25 Years of eBay miniseries. And, Brian, you'll like this. We have two great seller questions to answer this week. One is about 1099s, and the other one's about an ancient but persistent eBay tool called inventory.
But first up, Andrea Stairs.
It's official. It's holiday marketing month here at eBay, during which we'll be providing tactics and tips, as we always do, and advice and strategies for sellers to help capture the increase in traffic that comes as a result of the seasonal boost in buyer behavior. Buyers are out shopping, but no doubt you're wondering, what is eBay doing to drive traffic to the site this holiday? Well, there's no better person to inform us of our plans in that regard than Andrea Stairs, our Chief Marketing Officer of North America. Welcome, Andrea.
Thanks, Griff. It's a pleasure to be here. And particularly after the summer and September that we've had, it's been crazy with the pandemic. And it's a real pleasure to be here. And, you know, before we get started, just wanted to say thanks to all of our sellers. Not only are they keeping the marketplace going, but they're really keeping the country going. And it's just been amazing to watch what they've been able to do over the last 6 months.
You know, we talked a lot about how we expect holiday this year to be quite different than past years. What differences in holiday is your team planning for?
We stepped back and took a real look at what holiday 2020 would look like. And I think it's going to look quite different. You know, we've got financial insecurity throughout the country as the pandemic hits, and we've got different shelter in place provisions happening. We've got the election that's going to land smack dab in the holiday period. And then we've also got what we think is people shopping earlier, right? Than the issues that our sellers have experienced around ship times and ship delays. Buyers are aware of that as well. So we anticipate that they're going to start hitting the site earlier. We also think that there's going to be a shift in what people are buying. We've seen all summer the trend to focus on home as people have been sheltered in place or just, you know, reduce the amount of travel, feeling like that's going to continue. We've also seen that focus on hobbies, bread making and like whatever, all of the different hobbies, whether they're athletic or more culinary based, that will continue. They'll shift a little bit, but we anticipate that will continue. And then overall, we've seen a significant increase in e-commerce penetration. I think what our stats say, that about 70% of people that we surveyed are anticipating that they're going to spend more on e-commerce this year. A greater share of their holiday purchases will happen online this year than in prior years, which obviously makes sense given what we're seeing. A lot of shifting dynamics going into holiday 2020.
Yeah, you sound like you're describing me and my buyer behaviors. I know that I've bought a really expensive rowing machine and I'm using it. And I've bought a whole bunch of home improvement stuff all on eBay as well. So it's including the rowing machine. So this is good. If my behavior is any example, then I think this is a good year.
Yeah, I think it totally is.
Yeah. And with regards to timing with holiday, I know it's not our marketing, but it has that impact of raising marketing and buyer behavior across the internet. And that's Amazon Prime Day. And apparently it's like right about now. So how are we leveraging their day to help us this year?
Right. So on timing, so we launched our holiday early this year. You will have seen it start in early October. But of course, when Amazon comes out and plunks their Prime Day right at the beginning of holiday, that does also make a difference. A rising tide lifts all boats. And so what we see is a significant increase in traffic to our site as well. We have value all year round, but we will show up with special deals for this period. But also, you know, we will continue to tell the story about the fact that small businesses bring great value to us all year round, as opposed to just focusing on 2 days a year.
What are the key moments? You know, in the past, we've always had kind of these landmark days that kind of define how we market for the holidays. What are the key moments this year in this holiday season that we'll be focusing on?
We started with Halloween. In the early part of holiday, we tend to always focus on a C2C message, you know, a message around buy to fund your holiday. And so that's been part of our early holiday. We'll have messages around self-gifting. We tend to see that even though we're meant to be out there buying presents for other people, we tend to get you and your rowing machine. We tend to also buy for ourselves. So we'll lean into that. We'll look at stocking stuffers and deals moments. Obviously, Cyber Week, it continues to be a significant tentpole of the holiday period. And so we will lean in there and bring value and deals to the site. But as we talked about before, we're also taking a new approach, launching holiday earlier, really paying attention to scarcity and items that are selling through. You know, throughout the pandemic, we've seen these hot items as trends have kind of come and gone, whether it's bread makers or paddle boards or pools or what have you. So we anticipate that there will be also those scarce items through holiday. And so we're ready for that. We have a playbook for that. Quite a different approach, but still building on some of those key elements, stocking stuffers, Cyber Week, that feature in every holiday.
What about Black Friday? Is that going to be a big deal this year or not, do you think?
So I think that it will be a big deal. I'm not sure that it'll be as big as in prior years. It seems like people are pulling their shopping earlier into the season. And so there may be a little bit less to spend when it comes to that deals focus. And we've heard some offline retailers say that they're not going to be open on some key days in the Thanksgiving period. We'll really have to see how this plays out, but we'll be ready.
And what type of inventory will we be showcasing on our end so sellers can keep an eye out for things they want to source?
All of the traditional electronics and deals inventory is definitely going to be there. But I think one of the themes that we're seeing, as we talked about earlier, is the focus on home. People who normally travel to their grandmothers and have Thanksgiving in another part of the country, that's not going to happen as much, I don't think, this year. And so people are going to be focusing in the same way that they did in the summer on the outdoor space. We're anticipating that they're going to focus on the indoor space when it comes to the holidays. Holiday decor, the electronics that will just take your home theater up a notch, cooking for your family, that great Thanksgiving meal. I think a lot of those things are going to be things that we see feature.
I can envision a whole line of inventory, whether that's anything that's Thanksgiving related directly by theme, but anything that has to do with the kitchen, anything that has to do with dining, anything
Absolutely.
That has to do with decorating, all these things are going to be huge. I wish I had bought a whole bunch of stuff last year and held it for this year, but I didn't. So there it is. You know, every year eBay has a kind of its own message for the holiday that we present to buyers. What are we telling buyers this year when it comes to why they should shop on eBay?
Given what we've all been through in the last 6-7 months, we really thought that this year we wanted to focus on togetherness. We wanted to bring a bit of an emotional tone into our holiday messaging. It's not just deals, 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 or value, value, value. It's also maybe a bit more of a deeper reason why you come to eBay. And so you'll start to see creative video, audio display that is talking about gifts that mean something. That this year we have a lot to say and buy a gift that actually says, you know, I love you, mom, or I want to spend more time with you, dad. I think it's adding a layer of emotion to holiday and really keying in on a couple of elements of eBay's brand, the connections piece, right? We all know we're connecting buyers and sellers. We're also connecting human beings together and really keying in on that. Talking about the small businesses that bring the inventory to the site, there's a real desire to support small business. This year, small business has been through a really tough period, and we'll bring that into our messaging. And then obviously we need to talk about the great inventory and value, but I think the wrap definitely takes into account what we've been through for the last 7 months.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't really seen anything yet, so it'll be fun to watch. You know, our sellers, for some reason, they love our television commercials. Well, they can be pretty clever. But we've also explained over the years that as time goes on, television marketing becomes less and less effective, and that digital marketing is turning out to be the most efficient way for us to invest seller fees in marketing. With that in mind, what channels will we be investing in? What are we planning for 2020 media?
You're totally correct. And we did invest in TV this summer. For holiday, we're going to go back to our digital kind of comfort zone. So we'll have video. We've got seen the first video. The second video is being worked on as we speak. We'll have audio, traditional display banners, both static and dynamic, the ones that change. We'll do some partner integration. So we'll work with different publishers to kind of bring inventory to the site. We'll also be doing PR, social media, obviously all of the on-site marketing, reaching out to buyers who are maybe a little less engaged with really persuasive emails. We're doing gift guides, mobile advertising, on-site, so all of the site itself. We are coming out full court press in terms of holiday channels and holiday marketing.
So marketing is your purview. It's your wheelhouse. What would you say are the, let's say, top three tips that you would suggest to our sellers to best help capture the wallets of buyers that you and your team are going to be bringing to the marketplace this holiday?
Definitely one is that our sellers can also be marketing. So we take our jobs at eBay to drive traffic really seriously, but we can always use a bit more help and love to see sellers engaging in social media themselves, driving traffic to their listings on eBay, adding that little bit of personality and, you know, that we know our sellers are so amazing at and using that to their own benefit. Definitely, and I know we've heard Marnie talk about this before, item specifics. I get that they can be a bit of a pain and they take a bit of time, but wow, do they make a difference in terms of search and also Google rankings. And then I think, you know, the one thing is that it is a marathon, not a sprint. We do need to just pace ourselves through this. We've been through 2020 has been a doozy. Holiday will be busy. We know that e-commerce volume has just grown exponentially this year. So we anticipate strong demand, but our sellers do need to take a break every once in a while and look after themselves so that they can show up throughout this marathon season.
And I want to remind everyone that there are some tips and advice that we've mentioned in past episodes. I'll put links to those episodes and their segment names so that you can look them up pretty quickly in our transcript. Andrea, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you are incredibly busy. This is I believe, a new position for you, correct?
I think I'm in about month 8 or 9. So I think I had about 6 weeks of honeymoon period before the pandemic hit. But I've been at eBay for 15 years, Griff. So I know eBay well, and I certainly know and appreciate our sellers deeply.
Well, we appreciate everything that you and your team are doing, both for buyers, but, you know, it's a seller's audience right now. So they're really into it. And I want to thank you for taking time out of that busy schedule to talk with us.
Thanks, Griff.
Andrea Stairs is the Chief Marketing Officer for eBay North America. We've been talking about what eBay's doing this, which is officially our holiday marketing month. Again, I will put links to resources and tips in our transcript as we do every week. Just look for episode 112 at ebay.com/podcast and read the transcript. This week's story from our 25 Stories series, selected for the 25 years of eBay, is joining us on the road. Chris Marshall sells on eBay under the user ID O2BFunny. Let me spell that because it's not what you think it is. The letter O, the number 2, the letter B, and then funny. And his eBay store is called Collectibles-We-B, I'll put both of those as links in our transcript so you can go visit Chris's store. Welcome, Chris.
Good morning.
Where are you at the moment?
Let's see. I'll take a quick peek out the hotel window. It looks like I'm somewhere near Sandy, Utah.
Sandy, Utah.
By the way, is the city name, not the description of the soil.
Right. I know it well. I used to live just down the road at Draper.
Very good.
What brings you to Sandy, Utah?
My day job. I work selling building materials and managing a large sales team for the Western U.S. So I travel extensively around the West, and of course, in my spare time, what little bit I have, I put stuff on eBay. It's a nice little full life of salesmanship.
How do you balance both of those, a full-time day gig that keeps you traveling and selling on eBay?
It's a careful balance. Obviously, work is first and foremost, since that is my main income. eBay has always been kind of a hobby to me, although I've done quite a few sales over the years. I think I'm now in my 24th year and heading into 25 myself. So I've been doing eBay for a while, but typically when I go on an extensive business trip, I'll put my store on hold. So if someone's to go visit it today, they're going to find it's incredibly empty, and they'll say, gee, that wasn't much of a store. However, when I make my triumphant return, they will say, wow, that guy's got a lot of stuff listed. So that's kind of how I balance it.
What do you sell mostly?
It really varies. I've had great success with anything from toy cars, which is what kind of brought me to our venue today, as well as full-size cars. I got involved with selling city buses when the city of Kansas City contacted me years ago. And just odds and ends, it's kind of a weird deal. But generally, most of the time, I've got things on there that I'm selling on behalf of friends of mine and that type of thing. I've exhausted my own supply of goodies, so I'm now helping other folks. Currently, a friend of mine's got a fairly large collection of Hot Wheels that he's trying to sell off. His wife passed away, and so that was his collecting partner for life. And so he decided he was no longer going to collect and asked if I could help him liquidate that. So that's what the majority of my listings are currently.
You said you've been on eBay for 24 years.
Correct.
That's as long as I've been on eBay. What month did you start in the year of 19?
I believe it was July 7th of 1999. I'm going to make me think of what the years were, right?
96.
So 1996. Yeah. So and I think it was July 7th.
So you've seen it all.
I have. It was funny because I think I'd mentioned when I wrote into you folks that I remember fondly trading AOL Instant Message, I think it was, with Pierre. We were going back and forth, and he was talking a little bit about how he sells his Pez dispensers, I think it was at the time. And, we were going back and forth just talking about how the basics of eBay worked and how to make it successful, for me as a seller. That was kind of fun. And boy, I sure wish I'd done some screenshots way back then, but I don't think we even had those, 24 years ago.
Yeah, I have managed to save a few screenshots starting in 1997. I wish I had some from 1996. It was such a different site.
It was.
As you remember, it was just gray with no graphics, and you had to be somewhat tech savvy when it came to computers in order to actually list an item.
So we did, and I was able to, upload my massive photos of half a pixel or something like that. There wasn't a whole lot of pixelation back then. So
yeah,
you didn't really count on fine art on eBay at that point.
How did you end up getting started all those years ago?
On eBay or just in life in general? What would you like to know?
Let's start with eBay.
Okay. Let's go there. So I had gotten involved with Hot Wheel collecting thanks to a neighbor that moved in next door. We were comparing hobbies. Mine was restoring and selling old pinball machines. And his was collecting toy cars, specifically Hot Wheels, which I thought was perhaps the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of. And then why would you want to do that? Turns out, he had me help look for some cars for him during my business travels, which I still did at that point. And he had asked if I could look for different Hot Wheels for him. And so I did. And eventually I kind of got bit by the bug and started collecting myself, much to his chagrin, because suddenly his supply dried up, but mine increased substantially. And that was definitely to my wife's chagrin. She did not like me seeing a mass of Hot Wheels growing in her house. She did not think that was funny. So that's probably when I came up with my name of Oh To Be Funny, because Oh To Be Funny,
right.
Because my wife most definitely didn't think I was. In any case, I ended up getting a pretty large collection. And then decided, okay, I need to wean this out and then continue to rotate that collection. And there really wasn't a good venue for that. While some areas like Kansas City now have a better collector community, a lot of areas don't. And, you know, in the case of Kansas City, not a lot of folks were collecting the cars that I was entranced with, which, of course, was the red lines, the older Hot Wheels. So there wasn't a real big following there. So the question was, how do I rotate my stuff, continue to get better quality pieces in my collection, but get rid of the old ones? I mean, get rid of the lesser ones. That's when I happened to come across this newfangled eBay thing. Before that, and we were using the old, UBB bulletin board?
Oh, yes.
So that's why we were exchanging stuff. And that was, of course, an utter crapshoot, mostly crap and some shooting. But it was something that just wasn't a great venue for buying and selling. And so eBay looked like it could be of interest. So started dabbling that. And like I said, traded a couple instant messages with Pierre to get started. And then the rest was history. Then continue to sell in there and grow my sales and grow my involvement with eBay over the years.
You reminded me of the AOL instant messaging that we all used at the time.
Yeah,
it is amazing to think that 24 years ago, you could actually, any of the sellers or buyers on the initial eBay site could just talk to Pierre and instant message.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Yeah. It was kind of interesting. And then you thought, well, this thing's never going to go anywhere. If I'm talking to the guy who founded the thing, obviously this thing's doomed.
Did you really think that?
I thought it would never be huge. Yeah. I thought it could be big, but I thought, you know, it's going to be a niche thing, just like everything else. You know, this will fill a nice niche and it'll be good for the collector community. And never, you know, thought, gee, people would be selling automobiles and clothing and, you know, liquidating masses of electronics and whatnot all through eBay. Just really never envisioned it that way. And because, of course, at the time, Pierre was, you know, I think found it largely to help with his pets collection and connect with other pets collectors and sell off stuff. I viewed it as a niche for hobbyists more than anything else. And it's obviously grown far, far, far beyond that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't have much of a vision either. I thought, oh, yeah, no, this could be fun for a while. We'll see how this works. It's definitely something unique.
Right.
I don't think any of us had any idea how long it would last. When I got asked to be to work for eBay in November of that year, October of 96, I thought, yeah, I'll do this for a few months and then I'll move on to something else. Yeah, as it turns out, that's not exactly what happened.
Right.
What about Hot Wheels? Let's talk about those just for a minute, because that's your field of collecting. You have some expertise in it. How has that market changed since 1996?
It certainly has not experienced the roller coaster that Beanie Babies have. I mentioned the collection I'm selling off for the friend of mine right now, and it included a number of Beanie Babies. So I started putting those on eBay and quickly realized that mythical $100,000 Beanie Baby really doesn't exist. They may be listed, but they're not selling. Yeah. So, you know, that was an interesting little, you know, comparison for me, because Hot Wheels has been pretty steady. I mean, haven't seen any, you know, large drops. There was a little bit of a spike after some idiot sold a pink Hot Wheels beach bomb for, I think, $72,000. And suddenly everybody wanted to get involved with Hot Wheels. And that started to spike the market for the older cars, because suddenly what was just kind of a niche hobby became far more widespread. I believe that when that story first appeared in Knight Ridder newspapers in 1999, I think it was, it was distributed to 196 newspapers around the world. And I know that story pretty well, because I happen to be the idiot that sold that beach bomb for $72,000.
Well, so. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Has that market held, specifically when it comes to prices that high?
It has. I mean, I don't know that any have sold for that high since then. I know that that particular car, gentleman who owns it currently, you've probably seen him on Pawn Stars and some other stuff. He's become quite famous in his own right, because he has collected far beyond that first pink beach bomb. He now has the most valuable Hot Wheels collection in the world, multi-million-dollar collection, of which, of course, that car is still the centerpiece. But he's done quite well, and I believe that he currently has that car insured for $125,000. I don't think it's for sale, but you know, in terms of the value that he's put on it, that's what he's insured it for. So it appears the market's doing okay.
What's the most valuable Hot Wheel in your collection?
I really got rid of most of the stuff, you know, and of course, my wife is nearby, so I have to be very careful what I say, because she's immediately saying, how can I convert that into something for me? So the reality is that right now I've got a couple of cars that are probably $400 to $800 each. I mean, again, nothing major. the collection that I acquired when I got that pink Beach Bomb. It had a lot of prototypes in it, and so there were a lot of cars. And ironically, that pink Beach Bomb wasn't really the greatest return based on what I paid for it. They sold a light blue paddy wagon. I think I paid $15 for it and sold it for $3,000. So that's a pretty good return on investment.
How does your wife feel about your collection now?
Well, she's actually delighted for the most part because my collection is very minimal. And it really is. It probably numbers no more than 100 cars, probably. And what's interesting is that when I started selling and got semi-famous for that pink Hot Wheels that I sold for the big money, I suddenly had a fan club, something I didn't realize what celebrity brings. And it actually brought some celebrity to me. And so I started receiving unsolicited cars in the mail from fans that wanted to, just be friends, which was fine. I received a number of pink Beach Bomb mock-ups that they made at home. And I thought, you'd really like this. And so I would say probably a third of my collection are those cars that I received as gifts from people back then, because I am very, very big on not selling off anything. And some of them are beautiful. Some of them are absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Cars sure would bring big bucks in their own right, but I'll never sell them. They were gifts to me. And so yeah, I'll retain those into my deathbed. And chances are pretty good. My wife will make sure they're buried with me. So.
Well, when you think of the things you could collect, Hot Wheels are really kind of small and compact. And even 100 of them don't take up that much room.
So let's say that perhaps I got around 25,000 to 35,000 of those little Hot Wheels still in the original packages. It tended to take up a little bit more room. And the gentleman whose cars I'm selling off right now, I'm helping him liquidate. He had a very similar size collection, a large portion of which is now relocated to my humble abode. My wife is not as enthralled with me as I'd like to see her, but I bring her flowers at least once a year. I mean, I'm very good about that.
Once a year.
You like that, huh? She is snarling behind me. Oh, the looks I'm getting right now.
Uh-oh. Should we change the subject?
Yeah, feel free.
Tell us a little bit about your submitted story. I'll remind our listener that this is part of a series of 25 different sellers whose stories were the ones selected for this series out of thousands that were submitted. Tell us a little bit about your story and maybe why you surmise that it was one of the ones selected.
Well, I think, part of it was that, the pink Beach Bum, that Hot Wheels car was such an iconic piece of toy history. I mean, a lot of people were calling it the Holy Grail of toys. It was not something I coined. It was actually a large toy magazine that said, this is, perhaps the Holy Grail of collectible toys. So that really spiked a lot of interest. As I mentioned before, it appeared in a number of newspapers. I was interviewed by ABC in New York and CBS in Chicago. They called up and did radio interviews, that type of thing. So it really, put not only me, but really the whole hobby on the map. And of course, with eBay being involved with the collectibles and Hot Wheels and whatnot, that kind of bled into the eBay community in terms of the popularity. And it did spike the price a little bit. A lot more people were looking to buy Hot Wheels, especially pink ones, which is what that Beach Bomb was. The pink values went skyrocketing. And in a way, I regret that because I'd love to collect them again, but I can't afford them anymore because the prices are pretty high now. But the point being is that at that point, I was looking to, and I waited a few years and decided to talk to my lovely bride and said, I'm probably going to sell off the collection and I'm probably going to sell, the pink Beach Bomb and stuff with that. But in order to do that, I'm going to have to draw attention to it again because it'd been a couple of years since I'd acquired them. And the venue to do that was really eBay because eBay has such a huge reach. And again, this is, I think, 1999. So even in the 3+ years that I had been on eBay, it had expanded just incredibly. So the reach of eBay and the ability to reach out to other collectors at that point, and the UBB boards were dead. They didn't even exist at that point. So eBay was really the best venue for me. So, I put a number of those cars on eBay. I believe that that paddy wagon that I sold sold through eBay, and the Beach Bomb was one that I didn't know that I'd get the right audience for that. So I advertised that in a couple of high-end magazines, a Rob Report being one of those, and hope that somebody with more money than sense would pay some incredibly ridiculous price for it. Turns out they did. But eBay was really the catalyst to help me get the word out there and really expand the possible buyers for that vehicle and the rest of my collection at the time. That's how I came to that. And of course, I ended up, I think I mentioned in when I submitted my story that I got approached to sell some high-end real cars, one-to-one scale, as they call them, including a beautiful Bentley GT, which was well beyond what I was driving at the time. Mm. Somebody asked me to help them sell that. So I got to drive around and, there was no better interior smelling car than the Bentley GT. It is just exquisite. Ironically, that's the one thing I remember better than anything else was the smell. It was just unbelievable. In any case, I ended up selling that to a well-known vineyard out in California. That got me a little bit more fame in that community. Those folks started knowing about me. And so this guy, he's reputable. He, represented this vehicle perfectly. I bought it. I'm thrilled. They sent me a case of wine, even though my wife and I don't drink wine. That, by the way, I did re-gift. There was no way I was going to keep that in my collection for years because I'm just not going to touch it.
Right.
But, that kind of expanded what I was doing on eBay. And I think I mentioned that at one point, the city of Kansas City contacted me to help them sell city buses. Just strange stuff that I'm guessing most eBay sellers probably don't get to see. I think that's what I think attracted me to submitting my story, because it was kind of unique. Plus, I've been around forever, just like you.
You wouldn't know it to look at us because we look so young.
That's what I was thinking. I thought for sure you're my doppelganger, both of us in our 20s. I was impressed.
Oh, to be 20 again. I'm not so sure. Well, I want to go back
there. I don't even remember those days. Don't kid yourself.
Chris, a new seller comes up to you and says, "Ooh, you've got some history behind you and you seem to be successful. What advice can you give me if I'm just starting out on eBay?" What would you tell that seller?
I think the key to being successful and going in for the long haul, I mean, there's a lot of folks that, let's face it, these days are crazy enough, as we all know. But, a lot of people see it as a flash. They go in, they sell a few items, and you never see them again. And so when they do that, they don't necessarily put a lot of thought into how they're going to sell it, how they're going to represent themselves. You see that every day with what, on the internet of people posting on Twitter and Facebook. There's stuff that they just don't understand that that's a permanent record for them. And they really need to, take a better approach on how they are presenting themselves. And that holds true for eBay as well. One of the things that when people ask me, I tell them that you have to be honest, you have to be respectful. You have to assume that your buyer is going to be somebody who is exquisitely knowledgeable about what you're selling, that they know more than you do about that item. You're going to have to assume that they have an eagle eye for detail. You have to assume all these things because you want to present it accordingly. You don't want to throw up a blurry picture and say, okay, hope for the best. That's good if you're buying, by the way. If you want to buy some stuff cheap, look for those blurry pictures. That's a great deal. You might get junk, but you might find a jewel in the rough. But when you're selling, when you want to get, a good dollar and build a good reputation, a good photo, an accurate description, and standing behind what you're selling is a huge part of it, because you fail in any one of those things. And your time as a successful seller is going to be short-lived.
That's great advice. In fact, I don't think anyone's actually given anything approaching that type of advice in our previous story seller. So thank you for the unique advice, Chris.
So what are those guys doing? They just throwing it on there with blurry pictures?
No.
To change my tactic.
No, a lot of people have rather, I don't want to disparage past sellers on our series, but they're kind of things that we've heard before. But the idea of actually thinking about your presentation in general and being up front, making sure your pictures are clear and thinking about that there's going to be a history to this and you're going to have to rely on it. That's a really important bit of advice. Thanks.
Sure.
Well, Chris, thank you so much. This has been great fun.
My pleasure, of course. Anytime, get a hold of me in 50 years and we'll do the next one. I should say year 50. That's better.
Yeah, we'll look like we're 30. Sometime.
That's what I'm hoping. I've already got my robotics ordered. I'm pretty excited.
Well, thank you for taking the time out of your actual day gig to talk to us about your eBay.
It was my plan. I did ask my boss for permission. He said, "I'm giving you 1.5 hour and that's it. Then get back on the road."
And many thanks to your wife for allowing you to be on the interview
It's a pleasure. It's her pleasure as well.
Chris Marshall sells on eBay under the user ID O2BeFunny, and his eBay store is called Collectibles WeeBee. I'll put links to both of those on there. I'm going to also find links to past stories about the $72,000 pink beach bum that he sold, so you can read about that. You have questions. We have answers.
My favorite part of the podcast. So what's our first question this week, Griff?
Well, Brian, it's a question about managed payments that was called into our hotline at 888-723-4630. Let's listen in.
Hey, Griff. This is Carl Swain. My user ID is Carl Swain, believe it or not. I have a question about managed payments. At the end of the year, would the 1099 show only the gross amount that we receive in our bank account? Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Carl. The audio cut out there for a second, Brian, but I believe Carl was asking if the 1099 would show net payouts or gross payouts. Would you like to start this one, Brian?
I'll give it a start, and hopefully you'll provide some assistance as well. But Carl, first off, thanks for the question. And not a surprise that it's a managed payments question, but as a refresher, 1099 forms are used by the IRS as a way for business or individuals to report non-payroll income that they have received for the previous tax year. The income could be dividends from a stock portfolio, distributions from annuities, interest income, etc. And probably the most well-known type, non-employee compensation for individuals who offer their services as contractors.
Right. Now, here's an example that would be most relevant to an eBay seller. If you hire someone to help you with, say, taking photos, and you hire that person as a contractor as opposed to as an employee, and the contractor bills you for their service, and you pay her directly without withholding payroll tax, then at the end of the year, the IRS requires you to file what's known as a 1099 NEC, non-employee compensation. The form will include the contractor's name, social security number, and the gross amount that you paid her.
And that way, the IRS knows what to expect from that contractor when she files her federal income taxes for that year.
Exactly. It's a way to prevent contractors, in this case, from underreporting their income. It keeps everyone on the up and up.
Exactly. But the form 1099 actually comes in 21 different subtypes. And the one that Carl is talking about is form 1099-K.
Yes.
This is the specific 1099 from the IRS that requires all merchant card and third-party network payment processors to file for any of their customers who receive payments through their services. For example, sellers who receive payments from sales through PayPal or now through eBay's managed payments.
That's correct. And Form 1099-K is only sent out to sellers and the IRS by a payment settlement entity like PayPal or managed payments if that seller has had more than 200 transactions and the gross payments exceed $20,000 or more through that processor. This is, we're not talking about gross sales. You may have more than one processor, and we'll talk about that in a minute.
That's the really important part. And that's the question that Carl asked, isn't it?
That's the question we're taking a long time to answer.
But with good reason. We're taking this opportunity to use Carl's question to inform our listeners about 1099s.
That's right, because we are always oh so very helpful. So Carl, the key here is gross payouts. If you say tax year 2020, you had more than 200 transactions paid out through managed payments and those payments totaled $20,000 or more, then managed payments will be sending the IRS and you a 1099-K showing the gross payments processed. By the way, the form breaks down those payment amounts for the year month by month, but it's the gross payments that were paid to your bank, if you will.
You would have to file your copy of that 1099-K with your federal income tax form for that tax year.
Right. That ensures that the IRS knows that you're accurately reporting your gross income.
And being on the up and up. We'll post an image of a form 1099-K so you can see it for yourself. So to finally answer your question.
Form 1099-K shows gross payouts. Not payouts minus expenses or deductions.
Showing the IRS and business expense deductions is the responsibility of the business owner and seller.
Yeah. We hope that answers your question, Carl, and thank you for letting us indulge our need to inform above and beyond the actual question asked.
I do have a follow-up question, Griff.
Yes, Brian.
So what if I join managed payments mid-2020? That would mean I could get a 1099-K from both PayPal and eBay?
Possibly. If your payouts met the same threshold for both managed payments and PayPal, that is, you had at least 200 transactions and at least $20,000 in payouts from both, then both would send you a 1099-K.
And maybe I might not receive any 1099-K forms if I showed less than 200 transactions and less than $20,000 for either, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The rule applies to a single processor. Some sellers might have two 1099-Ks, or one 1099-K.
Or no 1099-K.
That's correct. But, and I think it's important to add in here, that if you don't get a 1099-K, that is not a blanket exemption from having to report and pay taxes on that income.
I can imagine there's some use cases where we've got sellers who sell in on the eBay marketplace, which is the best, but they may also sell in another marketplace and don't meet the threshold in either marketplace, so they wouldn't receive a 1099-K from either marketplace.
Right.
They're still responsible for the income that they generated.
Right, and whether or not you're going to receive a 1099-K is dependent upon the processor. For example, if you were to say eBay and then maybe Etsy, they may use the same platform, which in fact they do. But it's their processor. They're the processor of record. You would get a separate or not get one from Etsy, and you would get one or not get one from eBay. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Good.
And we should probably also state, as always, if you have questions about taxes and things like that, we encourage you to consult your tax accountant or tax attorney or whoever it is that you go to for taxes.
Right. And if you have absolutely no money, you can always use Google as your tax expert. Just make sure you're using reliable sources. Like, for example, the IRS website, which is really not that hard to understand. And they have answers to just about any question you may get. Where do you think I get my answers for this particular question? The IRS website.
That's a great tip.
Anyway.
Do we have any other questions this week, Griff?
Well, in fact, we do. And this one was also called into our voice line at 888-723-4630. Let's listen.
Okay, so I don't understand what inventory on the Seller Hub means. It shows that I have zero inventory when I have over 700 items listed. I really would appreciate some help. Thank you.
What do you think she means by inventory, Griff?
Well, Brian, I strongly suspect that Barbara means the old inventory feature that's been held over in Seller Hub. The links are there. Shall I explain?
Yes, be my guest.
The inventory link in the listing section of Seller Hub does not indicate your existing live active inventory on eBay.
Thus, the zero inventory you see, Barbara.
Correct. I'll explain.
Oh, brother. Should I go grab a cup of coffee?
No, I'll make it brief.
Right. I'm off to grab a cup of coffee.
Stay right where you are, Brian. So, Barbara, many, many years ago, eBay built a feature for eBay store subscribers and called it inventory. It's a tool that provides sellers a way of creating item listing templates that they can use over and over. It also allows for tracking the number of items that each listing template uses, a way of tracking inventory, if you would.
And if you click on the inventory link in Seller Hub, you'll see a page that shows you how many templates you have, in which folders those templates reside. And if you click on Manage Folders, you'll see the inventory tool as it was originally built way back in the early 2000s. You can add folders, give them names, and create templates inside of each folder.
That's correct. I tried using the inventory feature when it was first released all those many years ago. And I have to be honest, Brian, I found it so confusing and hard to use for my inventory that I gave up. Now, in my conversations with sellers who are or who have used it, it seems to work best for items that are SKU-based. That is, lots of quantity for a single type of item, for example, a widget, where you may have 1,000 of them. Then it seems to work pretty well.
Right. So it doesn't seem to work well for sellers with one-of-a-kind inventory. So Barbara, I'd encourage you to explore the inventory feature in case you do offer merchandise for which it might work well. But if not, don't give it another thought. Just use the active listing link to view your existing listings on eBay.
Yeah, and an eBay tool I do use all the time is the templates feature, which is recent, and it's like a stripped-down version of the old inventory tool. Now, templates won't keep track of the quantity of inventory you have, but it can work for those one-off items like clothing, shoes, and apparel, for example, that share some common attributes but aren't necessarily identical.
What's an example, Griff?
Well, sure. So, for example, shirts. I still sell a lot of them when I get around to listing them, that is. Don't start with me, Brian. I can divide up the types of shirts I offer and say brand name or maybe short and long sleeve. And many, if not most of them, might have the same shipping policy or the same description or item specifics. Now, in order to eliminate some repetitive data entry that comes with starting a new listing from scratch every time, I simply create one template called Men's Short Sleeve Shirts Used, and in the template, I fill out all the common attributes. For example, condition pre-owned, item specifics for sleeve length equals short. Then, when I want to list a new listing for short sleeves men's shirts that are used, I select the template from the list available in Seller Hub under Listings, Create Listing, Listing Template. Voila!
That's a great idea, Griff. Brilliant.
Of course. Selling. It's like acting. Selling.
Well, Barbara, I hope that answers your question. And if you have a question for us here at the eBay for Business podcast, call us on 888-723-4630.
That's 888-723-4630. And the best part is it is every week, is you can call that hotline anytime that's convenient for you. Leave a question or comment. If it's appropriate, we just might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call on the phone person, but I have to admit, Griff, it was really nice hearing two sellers' voices this week.
Wasn't that great?
It was. You can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Now, don't forget, it's time for your weekly podcast to-do list.
Check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news.
Start planning out your promoted listing strategy for the holiday shopping season, which starts, now. Hurry, don't be late.
And check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode.
On our next episode, we'll talk to eBay Head of North America Advertising, Scott Kellier, about promoted listings. And we'll also speak with eBay seller Patty Whitlock, whose story was selected as part of the 25 Years of eBay miniseries.
We'd like to again thank our guests this week, eBay Chief Marketing Officer of North America, Andrea Stairs, and eBay seller, Chris Marshall.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.